through the veils now. How many more lifetimes will you donate to the illusion of the ego? Are you ready to directly face the truth of your essential self? It is time to set yourself free.
Welcome, friends, to Voices of the Sacred Feminine, whether you're across town or across the globe. That cut you were just listening to was Isis by Diva Haley, and it's a wonderful CD of hers called Sacred Alchemy. You'll hear a little bit more from Diva later on in the show as I might get a chance to finish playing the rest of that cut on Isis, but I'll be playing a cut about Kali as well. Well, thank you for joining me tonight as I offer our monthly ritual on the radio, held the first Thursday each month. This week, we'll tap into the energies of Beltane that help motivate, activate, and get those fires inside you burning so you reach your peak potential in creativity. This is the week to find your fire. But before our ritual on the radio, Flash Silvermoon is back with us, and she's going to offer her Astro Flash for May, so you know what the energies of the universe have cooked up for us humans here on Mother Earth. So don't miss a great show. And as always, remember your feedback is wonderful. Keep it coming. Send your ideas, your comments, because like always, I say, you're gas in my tank. And, you know, later on in the month, tune in and hear my other guest. Next week, we have Lane Redman as our first guest. She's going to be talking about preserving women's history. I'll also take the opportunity to play some of Lane's wonderful music. Then after Lane, we have Ava Park. She's the foundress of the Goddess Temple in Southern California. We're going to talk about transgenders and spirituality. Then later on in the month, Gail McKeekin is with us. She's going to talk about the 12 secrets of highly creative women. Jean Houston will be with us again on May 17th. I don't know what she wants to talk about yet, that she's letting that percolate, but I'll probably be able to announce it next week. On the 24th, we have Laura Truxler, a scholar here in California. She's going to talk about the sacred feminine and Mormonism, I think a timely topic with Mitt Romney on the scene. Diane Wolkstein is our second guest that night. She's going to talk about Inanna, spiritual warrior, approaches the God of wisdom. And our last week of May, Will Moore is with us. He wants to talk about his belief and theory that the pagan gods and goddesses were our ancestors. And we close out the month of May with Amy Peck. She's the founder of the Goddess Studio down in San Diego, and we're going to talk about magic and manifestation. So remember, you can call into the show at 718-766-4662. You could speak to my guest, Flash, tonight. If I see you on the switchboard, I'll let you ask Flash a question, if we get to a good stopping point. And always remember, you can catch us live at 6 p.m. or later from the archives at your convenience. Shows can be heard via iTunes. And if you don't want to rely on getting reminder emails, make sure you click the follow button and get automatic weekly updates of guests of Voices of the Sacred Feminine. And also, too, in case you haven't heard, we're looking for a sponsor. And we also greatly accept contributions to help keep us on the air. As the host, I pay for the airtime to give my guests a platform to share their insight and wisdom with you, my wonderful listeners. And if you can help me, I sure appreciate it. Any small contribution will do. And if you know anybody that might benefit from being a sponsor of the show, some like-minded guys or gals, tell them about me or send them my way. Well, tonight, since it's a ritual on the radio night, I use the opportunity to play a little bit more music and chat a little bit more, and we'll be doing that throughout the show. We're going to get to Flash in about a minute here, but later on, you'll want to hear some more announcements I have, some great music, and, of course, our ritual on the radio, which will culminate with a wonderful Sekhmet meditation. So, I think we're ready for Flash. Flash, you still here with me, huh?
Still right here.
Okay, thank you for your patience while I took care of that show housekeeping. And so I guess let's get into it. Do you think April ended up being what we expected? I know the 18th was a big red letter day. What kind of feedback did you get from people in terms of how things started shifting in April?
Well, I think there was a lot going on energetically. And I think that, if you've been following some of the blogs and websites about the kind of interchanges that are going on in this country dealing with disclosure in terms of shadow government kind of things and people being kind of pushed out of places of power. That's certainly beginning to happen, and people are starting to exit like mice leaving the ship.
Are you talking about anybody in particular? Are you the Republican candidates kind of dropping out of the race, or
those? But also, Rupert Murdoch is about to be canned.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a big deal. And there's been, predictions that the people, and not from astrologers, et cetera, but more from people who are working deep within trying to watch over the whole world to make sure that it doesn't just stay in the hands of the crazies.
Right. Because I think that headline said something about they found him over in Britain, that he wasn't really fit to run his corporation. I meant to actually read that article. Did it say if it would have any repercussions here in the United States with Fox News?
Well, I imagine it will. I didn't read the whole thing. It was more of a clip on one of the news programs saying that this, in fact, was happening. And what's been wild with my writing for this particular Astro Flash, and I did it later in April. I always have to write it, you know, a bit before May. And every time I wrote something, I had the news on in the other room, and I'd write it down. And within moments, I was hearing a news flash about the very thing I was writing. And I thought, like, well, this is cool. And, you know, am I the chicken or am I the egg? No, because it was just so quick. And that fascinated. I was writing about was how there's going to be really unveilings of the wrongdoers, such as BP, because this what they did to the water and not just the Gulf is absolutely beyond evil. And there's no amount of money that can pay for what's been done. And as I was writing about that, over the news wave we hear, the first arrest has gone down with a BP engineer who was guilty of obstruction of justice.
Wow.
And this was happening, I think this is the 24th of April. And I was just writing about how this is going to be unveiled, and sure enough, right on the news, as I was writing it, he was found guilty of destroying thousands of memos to the higher-ups, which was proved, the memos would have been, they were posts, they would prove that they knew that, in fact, there was, I think it was like three times or eight times the amount of oil gushing at their spill daily than what they're saying.
But still some middle manager guy ends up paying the price, it sounds
right.
like.
Right, well, that's the beginning.
Yeah.
That's the beginning, yeah.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and they're exposing the upper guys.
Right.
And
right.
So that's the beginning arrest, and of course it needs to go all the way up.
Wow. Let's
and,
go.
Yeah, so when I was reading that, and part of this is the coming together of Uranus and Pluto that I keep talking about, but I have to keep talking about. They're not in the exact 90-degree angle that they will be in July. That's going to be the big boom, so to speak.
I mean, you mean of exposing things?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because there is rebellion and desire for a change, but not change like, well, let's just have a better candidate, or let's just have more equitable ways of dealing with money. It's more about we need a different system. And
right.
I think that that's what we're looking at.
Well, I wonder if it's going to come from some of the Occupy movements. I mean, I hear that, you know, this May 1st was just sort of the kickoff. I know they've been doing a lot of training around the country. There was even something on Amy Goodman talking about how the Occupy people, they were, let's see, I want to say this right because I only read the headline, but so the authorities, I think it was Homeland Security maybe, they actually went into the leaders of Occupy's houses.
Sure.
and you know, frisked them and you know, looked all through their houses and that. I mean, I wouldn't have believed it if it wasn't on Amy Goodman's show. You know, I would have thought it was just some paranoid blog, but that's pretty scary.
Well, you weren't around during the 60s, were you?
No, I was born in 57, so I was too young to be paying attention.
Yeah, I was very politically active in the 60s and into the early 70s, and that was you'd expect that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually sometimes surprised more doesn't go down regarding that.
Well, we should look for a lot more of this probably happening in July.
Yeah, But what we're seeing, though, we're seeing the unraveling and the unveiling.
Okay.
And those who have been telling the truth on the underground are going to be clarified in the above ground in places. We're just going to see a lot more revelation. And people just, I think I may not stay in office. I think I may just quit this great big CEO job. You know, just sort of wandering off.
Because maybe they have something to hide and they don't want it
to absolutely
hit the news. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to be hidden. And a
maybe
lot
we'll see
Mitt
Romney's tax returns in July.
You know, I haven't looked at his chart, but there's going to be nothing regular about this election.
Right, you said
if
that.
If we even have one.
Wow, that's dangling a carrot there.
Yeah, well, I just feel like it's really an anything can happen.
Okay.
And to expect the unexpected. Now, we've already seen signatures of elections being just stolen.
Right.
We've had that. We've had that a couple times go around. They got to think of something new, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
Well, you know, let's hope the powers that be are watching out for the powers of good, you know.
Yeah.
And that what was that old Star Trek movie? I think it was Bones was telling Spock when Captain Kirk was about ready to go do battle. He said, you know, oftentimes, Spock, evil defeats good unless good is very, very good. I'll never forget that episode.
Yeah, and the thing is, we also are going to have some very angelic energy helping us out this month. So, you know, there's a lot of challenge, but there's also a lot of good juice coming in. This full moon that we have on Saturday, the Scorpio full moon, is going to be very large. It's going to be the physically most large full moon all year. So look for it. And Scorpio full moons tend to bring out the underside of things, what's hidden.
Okay.
You can have some of the weirder type occurrences with that full moon. I wouldn't be surprised if we had some kind of major UFO sighting during that time as well.
Okay.
Where they just can't say, it's not really happening.
Okay, all right.
And also, Scorpio can be about looking behind the veil. And we're going to see that. And that's part of this whole revelation situation. And it also puts us in a space of needing to figure out what we really value. What are we willing to die for? And I'm not saying everybody's going to die, nothing like that, but just what really will you stand up for and how much is it worth to you? How much do you like your comforts? And how much are you willing to say, is this as important as people not being hungry?
Mm-hmm.
So lots of self-questioning in terms of what really matters.
Well, you know, I can imagine there might be a lot of that going on. I mean, even the Catholic bishops, who I detest because, you know, they just got finished slapping the hands of the nuns because the nuns were too worried about feeding the poor in poverty and weren't worried enough about gay bashing. But yet, they, in a way, they've sort of redeemed themselves. You know, they came out against the Ryan budget saying to him, don't you dare say you put this together using Catholic teachings. It was more Ayn Rand teachings. So in a way, you know, they've sort of exposed the Romney budget. You know, I kept waiting for somebody on the religious side to expose this, you know, right-wing ideology as selfishness and greed and immoral, and it comes from the bishops of all people.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah.
In God, should we trust?
Well,
I mean, I know I trust the goddess very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's some very, very interesting times. What's going to be really big is May the 20th, when we have the annular solar eclipse of the year. And it'll be in the sign of Gemini, because the lunar eclipses are all full moons. The solar eclipses are all new moons. And that's always the way it is. And they're in different signs from time to time. But this particular new moon is going to be conjoining the star cluster of the Pleiades. Now, I know that must sound familiar to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's been lots written, many, many videos that you can find on YouTube about the Pleiadians, and many wonderful books written about them. And their energy, from my understanding and what I feel from them as well, is one of great healing and spiritual light. So I think that there will be a major download of spiritual energy happening on that day, that evening, for all of us.
That's interesting. We're actually having a healing fair in Los Angeles that day. The Pagan Pride folks are putting on a fair. I wonder if they chose that day knowing about the astrology or if they just got lucky.
Yeah, I don't know. The trouble, though, with doing things on eclipses is things get eclipsed. So I would say probably those that participate will have a great experience. It may be that not everybody will actually wind up knowing about it. In other words, what I'm saying about an event being eclipsed.
Oh, you mean like something else more important will happen that day?
Either that or the publicity doesn't get around right. So, you know, what I would say to whoever's organizing, that to do a real bang-up job on their publicity.
Okay.
You know,
I'll try to remember to pass that along.
Yeah, they should definitely do 3 times what they usually would do.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm giving a talk that day on goddess ecology for a sustainable future, so I'll start pushing that too.
Yeah.
I'll help them get the word out. All right, so that's the 20th, the solar eclipse.
But there's also something else about that day.
Okay.
That eclipse has an arc of energy that, the way the eclipse travels across the country. And sad to say, there could be some rumblings in your neck of the woods.
Like what? You mean like an earthquake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they can touch off the tectonic plates.
All right.
And, it can really be problematic. It appears as though the trajectory of the eclipse goes from Japan and then across through parts of the northern part of California and then through Shasta and down towards Texas, to the center of Texas.
Okay.
So these are places where the energy could manifest strongly in different ways.
Shasta, that's like up in Washington, so
well,
maybe we'll escape it in California.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a coalescing of energy over the San Andreas Fault.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean it's going to do any major thing where you are.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's going to do anything major, but I'm betting there's going to be at least some rumblings.
Okay.
So again, as I said, keep your ear to the ground, and there's lots of places on the web where you can follow what's going on in terms of the earthquakes.
Okay. Well, is that it for May, or were any other tidbits for us?
Let's see. Well, Venus will go retrograde starting on the 15th of May. And so between now and the 15th, if you want to start a relationship, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, this would be a really fine time to get it rolling if you've been thinking, well, I think maybe I'll just watch how this goes for a while. If you really are serious about having a relationship come together, you definitely want to get it going now rather than waiting towards the middle of the month, because if you want something to be secure and last for a while, you never start a relationship with a retrograde Venus or Mercury.
Okay.
And this retrograde will last, I believe, until the 27th of June. So it'll be a while. And,
yeah.
You know, if it's just a fling, whatever. Do what
right.
you like.
Right.
But if it's something you're hoping grows into something really substantial, best to kick it off as soon as you possibly can.
And would that also apply to, like, not just love interests, but partnerships or contracts, things like
yes.
that? Okay.
Yes. But it's particularly about love interests because it's Venus.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, if relationship is significant in terms of the work that you're doing, then I would put it under this auspices as well.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean everything will go to hell while it's retrograde for relationships. That doesn't mean that at all. But the energy will be more internal and a time for everyone to really look within their relationships and, you know, how can they make them better and what are they really wanting out of the situation and how is it looking, how can it be better, and to dig in deeper into what both partners really know and want.
Okay.
So there's
right.
plenty of time for growth and work.
Okay.
And most importantly, especially when things are difficult, is to not focus on the difficulties, but on the light, to really focus on creating a positive vibration, because all of this is about vibration anyway. It doesn't really matter so much what's going on. You want to know about it, but you don't want to sit in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not dwell on the hard part.
Right.
But because you become part of the problem and not the solution.
Okay. Yeah, you sort of get sucked into that negative energy.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really, really important for any of us who have the ability to help others just stay positive, to do that job everywhere you go.
Okay.
You know, that thing, to be the change that you want to see.
Okay, good advice.
And to really lift it up and not take it down.
Okay. So, does that conclude our Astro Flash for the coming month?
Well, I'd say that's the biggest part of it. If you'd like to discuss any aspects of that, that's fine with me as well.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think you were pretty clear. I know we spoke a little bit before we went on the air about if anybody was, you know, just to sort of give out this little tidbit of information, we had sort of marked April 18th as a, you know, big red letter day that, you know, energies
right.
would start to open up. And Flash was telling me that, you know, for anybody who, like, you know, didn't see any, you know, huge changes or shifts, you know, not to be discouraged, because sometimes those things are sort of, you know, working for us underground and, you know, we're not seeing the seeds that are maybe sprouting.
Yeah, and I think they are and they will. And I also think a lot of the changes are going on spiritually and they're subtle.
Okay.
Just, you know, watch the news for what it's worth, because more and more will be popping out.
Well, if we like things to be revealed, it sounds like we're going to be in for a treat the next few months.
Yeah, I really, really see that happening. Because, you know, if you look back to maybe the early 60s or something, and if somebody told you that everybody would have a computer and people would be walking around with a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that there'd be all this kind of technological stuff going on.
Yeah.
We would have thought, this is pretty far-fetched.
Well, you know, you said that, and, I instantly, you know, my mind was on Star Trek from before. Think of their communicators. That's our phones now.
Yeah.
So cool.
And I do believe that there's a lot of communication going on interplanetarily.
Okay.
And that we are receiving help.
Okay. So, and look for that, maybe go Google the Pleiades and the Pleiadian, that
mm-hmm.
sort of light energy for, you said that was around the 20th, right?
Right on the 20th, yeah.
Right on the 20th. Okay. Well, Flash, thank you. Thank you again for another wonderful, insight on what we might expect for the coming month. If you would, please go ahead and tell listeners how to reach you and just sort of give them a little rundown of all the different things you have available there if they need your help.
Sure. Yeah, come to my website, which is flashsilvermoon.com, and the very first thing you'll always see on that page is Astroflash. So you can read the details of what I was just talking about the astrology for the month and then for each of the individual signs. So there's good stuff there. I'm an astrologer, obviously, and so I do charts for people, and I don't need you to be in my house to work with you. I can do this over the phone. I'm a psychic, and so I do tarot readings, psychic readings, and what I don't usually say is that I'm a medium. But actually, then I usually tell people I'm a large, because I am, and to be totally in truth about the matter, I work with animals. I love working with the animals, and I communicate with them and also do healing of a different type nature with the flower essences and different kinds of gem elixirs, stones, and basically just talking with them, tuning into what's going on, and helping find the right methodology to change that up. And you can also get my book, The Wise Woman's Tarot, and a couple of my CDs. So there's a lot to look at.
And your radio show, too.
Yes, that radio show, which is called What the Animals Tell Me, and it's on every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9, on internetvoicesradio.com. So do join me over there. If you're an animal lover, that's your show.
Okay. Well, Flash, thank you so much. You're welcome to stay on and listen to the rest of the show if you like or not, whatever you have to do. I know you're over on the East Coast, so it's 9:30 where you are. You might need to get to bed and get some rest. But, just wanted to say you're welcome to stick around.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Well, good night, and we will talk again at the beginning of June and see where we're at with all this.
Thank you so much, and you all have a beautiful ritual.
All right, thanks, Flash.
Thank you.
Well, so now we have an idea what to expect for the next few weeks. Well, if you're new to the show, I just wanted to tell you about my two books. My books are Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, and my other book, Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth. Some people call them bookends, whether you're an armchair tourist or you actually get out there on the ground, whether you work on your own or you're part of a group looking for insight and ideas to live a goddess-inspired life. Well, I invite you to check out my books. You can find out more about them at my website, KarenTate.com. While you're there, check out the talks I give, the workshops. I have a special for my two books. You can get both of them there for $25 plus shipping and handling, which is a better price than you can get on Amazon, and you get them signed by me. So if you're looking for a gift for yourself or a loved one, keep me in mind. And while you're there, don't miss the free meditations that you can listen to from the Goddess Store page. They're my gift to you. And one of the meditations that I'm going to be doing later on tonight, the Sekhmet meditation, it is actually there on the website. That's another place you can source it. So, you haven't heard this in a while, I'd like to remind you that, the show is here. because it's so important to get the word out about the sacred feminine. Adversaries of the sacred feminine, well, they tried to sweep away awareness and knowledge of her for all time. And with that sweeping away, when the great she was made to disappear because of the religion of patriarchy, of selfish and disconnected men and their war gods, well, women and their power, their leadership, their spiritual authority were thwarted, repressed, became taboo. They were diminished and disrespected. That's why here on the show I'm dedicated to recovering the great she, whether she be deity, archetype, or ideal. Yes, here we intend to defy, to taste the forbidden fruit, to be powerful and uppity women, to throw off the shackles and look under every rock, behind every locked door. We will peer into the abyss of the past so we know why things are the way they are and how they've come to be turned on their head and so unnatural today. And you know what? We are going about setting things right because we want to save the world and ourselves as a species, and we have no other choice. If we want to restore balance, harmony, wholeness, sanity, it's women armed with our like-minded brothers and ideals of the sacred feminine who will get things back on track. And the two mottos of the show, the first is from the 19th century German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer. It goes like this. All truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it is accepted for being self-evident. Can you think of anything that went through those three stages and now we just think of it as normal? If you can, email me. Email me. There's lots of different things. Put on your thinking cap. And the second of our mottos, a quote attributed to Gandhi, goes like this. First, they ignore you. Then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. There you go, same sort of thing. Remember when they thought the world was flat? Remember when they thought the planets all in the sun all revolved around the Earth? There's two of them for you. There's lots more. So let me just tell you about a few more things happening before we get to you know, some more music and starting our ritual on the radio. If you are in the L.A. area, on May 20th, I'm going to be giving a talk, Goddess Ecology for a Sustainable Future. It's going to be as part of the Pagan Pride Healing Fair that's held at the Green Man in North Hollywood. What is the class, the talk about? Well, Goddess Ecology, I believe it stands in stark contrast to male-dominated patriarchal religions and beliefs in their entitlement to rule over women and Mother Nature. Synonymous with nature, goddess spirituality offers a better way to live in balance and harmony with each other and the planet. So, Goddess Ecology for a Sustainable Future. Then the following week, May 27th, well, that's our Sacred Sunday service. And we're going to actually be talking about our bounty, good fortune, and prosperity. Right after the Sacred Sunday service, which is at the Green Man again in North Hollywood, we use that space a lot for our events, right after the Sacred Sunday service, we're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to give a class called Goddess-Inspired Living. And the description is, absent a goddess Bible, beyond the wheel of the year, and Wicca 101, this class examines in a very relevant way how goddess mythology and spirituality offers ideals or a guide for living a life inspired by values of the divine feminine. I'm going to be teaching that class with Samantha Sage. And what I, you know, think would be fun is if you come for Sacred Sundays, bring a brown bag lunch to eat between Sacred Sunday and the beginning of the class. Well, I'll sit around and chat, and then, you know, then class will start. Also, now is the time to start thinking about if you're going to attend the series that I'm teaching in June, Cakes for the Queen of Heaven. I'm going to be teaching classes 1 through 5. They're called In Ancient Times. What is Cakes for the Queen of Heaven? Well, it's about goddess-inspired worship in prehistoric and pre-Judeo-Christian cultures. If you want to learn about goddess herstory, again, beyond Wicca 101 and without reading 50 books, if you want to to know about it, to be able to talk about it intelligently to your friends, to your family. Well, this is it. This five-part class puts all the pieces together so you have a clear understanding. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a weekend intensive. We're going to have the five classes on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that way, rather than have to come 5 days in a row, we'll do it in three. So I guess that's about it for the announcements. So I think let's shift gears a little bit here. I'm going to go ahead and start to get ready to have Ritual on the radio. We're going to take a little break. I'm going to let you shift gears as well, and we're going to do that by playing the song Kali by Diva Haley. And the reason we're going to play Kali is because we're going to be talking about Kali in the ritual. We're going to be arming Kali with her weapons to fight for social justice. So sit back and start to relax, and I'll be right with you to start the ritual after this musical piece, Kali by Diva Haley from her Sacred Alchemy CD.
Shakti, Shakti,
To our ritual on the radio, our sacred salon, as we celebrate this month, bold Beltane and the fires of transformation. As the song goes, we can rise with the fire of freedom. Truth is the fire that burns our chains, and we can stop the fire of destruction. Healing is the fire that runs through our veins. May your mind be clear. May your heart be pure. And may your body be strong. You know, because we only do Sacred Salon once a month, let me begin by recognizing the purpose of our gathering. Sacred salons are provided to offer a safe place to share sacred space, to provide a bit of time we can look forward to each month, to carve out time for yourself, with your family or friends. It's a niche where you can be with a like-minded community, to seek out the divine within and strengthen that connection with deity. Here we try to provide an environment to slip out of our commercialized corporate culture and slip into a new culture formed from diverse backgrounds and a rich variety of poetic, mythological, ritual, folk, and mystery traditions. When you're here with me, we ask that you just open yourself to new ideas and feelings, to share your thoughts in the safety of our online family. Maybe you can write them down in a journal. You can email me. And be prepared to find your creativity, your wildness, maybe even your wisdom. Here we strive for balance, peace, harmony, and love. So we honor the sacred feminine as primary, complemented by the divine masculine. Here we seek to be aware, appreciate and attune ourselves with the force of nature by taking time out to celebrate the changing seasons. Honoring the cycles and changes helps us to more graciously accept our own cycles and changes and find a greater sense of harmony and balance in ourselves and our environment. From this balance comes a sense of continuity in life and wholeness in ourselves. So let us together in sacred space revel in the new light, in the essence of the universe at this time, in our bold Beltane energies and the fires of transformation. Now, we're going to do our prayer. We have forgotten who we are, and that is the refrain. If you would like to say it with me, we have forgotten who we are. We have alienated ourselves from the unfolding of the cosmos. We have become estranged from the movements of the earth. We have turned our backs on the cycles of life. And now for the response. We have forgotten who we are. We have sought only our own security. We have exploited simply for our own ends. We have distorted our knowledge and we have abused our power. We have forgotten who we are. Now the land is barren and the waters are poisoned and the air is polluted. We have forgotten who we are. Now the forests are dying and the creatures are disappearing and the humans are despairing. We have forgotten who we are. So we ask forgiveness. We ask for the gifts of remembering. We ask for the strength to change. O Earth Mother, we praise thee, that seeds spring, that flowers open, that grass grows. We praise thee for winds that whisper through the shining birth, through the lively pines, through the mighty oak. We praise thee for all things, O Earth Mother, who gives all life. And we are reminded that there is no one way. We repeat that. We remind ourselves because it's so vital in today's world. There is no one way to embrace, engage, and acknowledge the divine in our daily lives. We gather at our sacred salon to nourish our souls, to come together in community, to uplift our spirits. We use these moments and time from our busy lives to help that connection with deity to manifest, to bring alive the memory of the teachings of the past, and to continue benefiting from this now and in our future. So I encourage you to seek your own best path to the divine. Remember, it's always both within and outside ourselves. It surrounds and permeates us. We are never alone. Besides reclaiming the knowledge and wisdom of our ancient ones, we also should remind ourselves of these values and how they pertain to our current reality. Even the most experienced of us have things yet to learn. So I invite you to join me as we share this experience to help each other facilitate each of our journeys. So, as we usually do every month, we light three candles. And some of you, I know you email me, you actually put three candles in front of you on your altar, on your table, or some of you just light these three candles, in your mind's eye. So first, we light the first candle, the concept candle. And our concept for our service is the boldness of Beltane and her fires of transformation. We want to activate ourselves. We want to become motivated. We want to tap into our sacred fire. We're going to light the second candle. It's our divinity candle. We light this candle to pay tribute to two goddesses this month, two fiery goddesses of transformation, of activation, of motivation, Kali, the Indian goddess, and Sekhmet, the Egyptian goddess. The goddess is all I shall ever want. She introduces me to the wonders of earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. She is the enticement that draws new life. She opens the door at death. She is the wheel, the circle, the round of birth, life, death, and transformation. Yea, though I walk through the shadowy, chthonic opening of the Sheel Nagig, I shall fear no reprisals. Her pomegranate and sheath of grain renews me. She welcomes me back to her mead hall. She anoints my head with her sacred moon blood, my cup overflows. Surely balance and harmony shall accompany through all my emanations, and I shall live in the lap of the goddess. And we'll light the third candle, our perpetuation candle, what we want to pay forward in the world. as we light the third candle. May we remember we are but a part of nature, our mother who gives us all life. May we live our lives knowing the secrets of her fire that activates us, motivates us, sparks us with creativity, and inspires us to do, to transform, to be what we are, and to become what we are capable of becoming. This is our gift to ourselves and to her. Goddess, make us strong in spirit, courageous in action, gentle of heart. Let us act in wisdom, conquering our fears and doubt and discovering our hidden gifts. Teach us to meet others with compassion and be a source of healing energies and face each day with hope and joy. Let us remember we are each a part of the divine. We are each a part of the cosmos. We affect each other and the world around us. With that comes great responsibility. Let us pray that we may at all times keep our minds open to new ideas, that we may grow in our understanding of the nature of all living beings and our connectedness with the natural world, that we may become ever more filled with generosity of spirit and true compassion and love for all life. We pray that all of humanity one day feel the pulse of Mother Earth in their feet as they tread, and that humankind find the faith to believe in the messages carried by their dreams and see beyond the visible world. Lord Byron wrote, "There is music in the sighing of a reed, there is music in the gushing of a rill, there is music in all things if we only had ears. Their earth is but an echo of the spheres." In other words, we are but a microcosm of the macrocosm. We reflect and echo the harmonies of the music of the spheres. We are but one human family as time and distance dims. We are part of the continuum if only we would listen closely enough to hear it. Well, I want to thank Marcia for what I'm about to share with you. She contributed to our salon. And she writes, "This is the time of the Beltane fire. Beltane, around May 1st, May Day, was the beginning of summer in agrarian Europe. This was the time of the Maypole dance, this pole being an iconic representation of the god's phallus reaching up to the circle decorated with flowers at the top representing the vaginal opening of the goddesses. Copulation, coitus, the sex act itself was seen as a great power, the power to generate life. This is also a time when the farmer and his wife would go out into the fields to have sex, a little sympathetic magic to ensure fertility and a bountiful harvest. The creative power of the earth has been rising along with the increasing light beginning at winter solstice. This light, seen as a mere spark at winter solstice, increasing to a candle flame by Bridget or Imbolc, to the equal day-night of spring equinox or Ostara, to the full bonfires of Beltane, which symbolizes spring, rising to burst forth into the heat of the summer. And this power was further acknowledged by reports that if you were out in the evening of May Eve or Walpurgis night, you were a witch, because who else would be out on such a powerful night except someone working with these powerful energies of the earth's, shall we say, climax. At this time of year, I'm reminded of the French movie The Sorceress, where on a certain feast day in early May, the icon of a saint was paraded outside by the peasantry, set up and danced around by the young men who would leap as high as they could. The visiting monk begins asking the local priest questions about this observance when the young peasant girl, who is the queen of the May, comes rushing by with a bucket of worms. The monk stops her to question this and is aghast at the gathering of these serpents and their inclusion in any kind of church observance, to which she answers, "But, Father, these are the good serpents that open the earth." And she dashes off to where the dancers and the rest of the peasants begin tossing them onto the icon. So what do we want to burst forth into for summer? Any projects or plans? Anything like maybe larger socio-political movements you are passionate about that need the energy of this time to propel them forward? Or maybe it's just personal projects. Maybe it's something that's close to your heart, to your family, to your community. Or maybe it is larger. Maybe it is socio-political. Well, Marcia talked about a sort of a socio-political idea, because we always question, are people naturally violent or do they learn violence? And she thinks there's maybe an answer in the work of Paul Chappelle. And Marcia goes on to say, one of these ideas of socio-political movements comes to mind when we talk about a peaceful world. And Paul Chappelle, a young retired Army captain of mixed race, and his work with the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation, he talks about the whole concept of peace being trivialized to the point of where it's only associated with some vapid beauty contestant's interview, where they always say, well, you know, if you had one wish, what would it be? And she says, world peace. Well, you know, Paul Chappelle, he suggests instead we could envision our work in the peace movement as the act of waging peace. You know, we always hear about waging war. We actively wage war. Well, we have to actively wage peace, making it vibrant and an actual active thing that we work toward and do. I remember his first question to the audience when he addressed them was, do we think humans are naturally peaceful or violent? He himself saw humanity as naturally peaceful, and this was verified by all his study at West Point. Here is where he learned of the very hard process of turning a man into a soldier. Here's some examples and advice excerpted from Paul's blog post on the Occupy movement. Paul reminds us to look at peace or any social movement as a long-distance marathon with its ups and downs, and actually only 1% of the general population who agrees with the tenets of any social movement is active in it. In the action of waging peace, Lao Tzu from The Art of War reminds us, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. But if you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Knowing our enemy and knowing ourselves is a timeless strategic principle. It means being able to see the world from our enemy's point of view and knowing not only our strengths but also our weaknesses. When waging peace is concerned, our enemies are ignorance, hatred, misunderstanding, and greed. Martin Luther King never demonized the white racists who wanted to kill him. Instead, he called them his sick white brothers. King believed that their minds had been imprisoned by ignorance and hatred, and he sought to use the power of truth and love to break their chains. When we wage peace, we need to take the oppressive system out of its element, because when we are violent, it is best prepared to smash us. King taught us to confront an oppressive system not violently where it's strongest, but in the realm of moral authority where it's weakest. When we wage peace and those in power use violence against us, it can actually make us stronger. When peaceful civil rights protesters were blasted with fire hoses and attacked with police dogs, public support for the civil rights movement increased. When the U.S. government attacked the bonus marchers of World War I, veterans who were protesting for wages they had been promised while serving overseas, it increased the moral authority of their movement, and public opinion shifted in their favor. Paul Chappelle's ancestors were slaves. His grandfather in Virginia was a racially mixed African-American barber, and his grandmother was a racially mixed African-American maid. Neither of his parents graduated from college, but he describes himself as living in a position of extreme privilege. And you might ask yourself why. Well, he wasn't referring to money, because he has a modest income and lives in a one-bedroom apartment. To him, extreme privilege refers primarily to four things. The first is he's literate. It was illegal to teach slaves to read, and for most of human history, the majority of people simply could not read. Second, he's living in a remarkable era where he has greater access to information than anyone living before him. Francis Bacon, the philosopher, said, "Knowledge is power," and Socrates showed that in order to improve our society, we must transform people's beliefs and ways of thinking. In his apartment, Chappelle, he has internet access and many books and documentaries in the battle to change minds. This is a vast source of power. Third, Chappelle says he can express his viewpoints without being suppressed. Freedom of expression did not exist for much of human history, and it still does not exist in some parts of the world today. Finally, the fourth thing that gives him extreme privilege, he says, as an American citizen, he has the ability to make a difference, and he intends to make the most of his citizenship. How much different is he than any of us? Well, I want to thank Marcia for contributing that to our Sacred Salon. So, let's see. Chappelle says, he says about making a difference. An American citizen, he has the ability to make a difference, and he intends to make the most of his citizenship. And how different is he from many of us in this room? Absolutely right. We all can make a difference. Well, let's think a little bit about fire and transformation, because this bold Beltane, we're talking about finding our fire. If you have my book, Walking in Ancient Paths, in the section on fire, the introduction, I talk a little bit about how fire is the shedding of our skins, the growth of transformation. And by now it should be becoming clear that the four elements are not just components of the universe or goddess, but of our own inner psyches or temperament as well. Earth is more than synonymous with the cardinal directions of the north and the physical land that we walk on, but it embodies who we are and the gateway to manifestation. It's our physical journey of life. Water is not only considered to be representative of the west corner, but it's our emotions, our inner visions, our feeling and intuition, all of which we may harness in a ritual. Air in the east represents our psyche's ability to know, communicate, clarify, contemplate. Air fuels the vehicles of our creations. But fire, which we're focusing on tonight, fire is both creative and destructive, perhaps the most potentially volatile of the elements, and it hails from the south. It's the heat that stokes our passion and sexuality and arouses our will. It's the catalyst for growth and transformation. Experiencing the fire within, we are transmuted and we affect factors outside ourselves, like falling dominoes, triggering, sparking, activating, inciting further change. Just as Chappelle just said, as an American citizen, he has the ability to make a difference. With fire, we take flight, we purify, we morph, we explode onto the world and transition from one thing to another. Campfires and flames of the hearth ward off darkness and keep us cozy and warm. Unlike the other elements, fire does not exist in a natural state. It takes physical form by overtaking or consuming the other elements. Thus, it is the master transformer. It is affected by the other three substances and vice versa. Alone, fire or the sun creates heat or temperature, but add air and the planet has weather. Add wind to a small flame and you might see a firestorm. Add fire to oxygen and you have an explosion. When certain elements of the earth mix with flame, we create bronze, iron, or copper instruments, weaponry, or jewelry. Lasers come to mind as coming from a form of fire, as well as electricity or solar power. As the rays of the sun to grow, add the rays of the sun to growing things, and photosynthesis occurs. But with too much heat, not enough water, dehydration and withering occurs. Add water to fire and we get steam, combustion. Scientists say the ultimate fiery explosion, the Big Bang, spewed forth the planets of the universe. Add warmth of heat to food and we have cooking. Mix fire with potions, we have created medicine. Ancient alchemists were believed to be able to apply fire to base metals to create gold. Anyone who sat around a campfire or by a crackling hearth knows the trance-like state of the dancing flames and the trance that might induce. Even the destructive nature of a wildfire or lava is known to have positive benefits of purifying and cleansing, making way for new growth. Fire's active and projective nature gives us the strength, endurance, and passion to grow and change, and enables us to stand in our truth and integrity and face diversity. It's about fashioning the tools of trust, faith, and prayer to help us in times of need. It's about standing firm when our abilities and beliefs are tested. It's about maneuvering the treacherous gauntlet of politics. fire helps us burn away fear and self-doubt. We emerge from the cauldron steeled, liberated, and empowered. We have all heard of trials by fire. Life sometimes throws those tests our way, and how we respond are the measure of who we are. Fire demands we stand up and be counted and help lead the way. Goddess spirituality provides a toolbox of practices to help us understand fire, harness it, and make the powerful element our friend. We can use archetypes of fire and work with the aspects associated with that power using sacred symbols or individual goddesses such as Sekhmet and Kali, thereby positively affecting ourselves on the inner planes or psyche, such as breaking bad habits and cleansing ourselves of dis-ease. We can further work with fire as a symbol for authority, leadership, self-empowerment. You can do this with visualizations, directing our will and prayer and meditations, alone or in a group. Fire often must be encountered and managed on the outer planes as well. This may take the form of how we maneuver in the world within personal relationships, business, social partnerships, and spiritual communities. Can we manage volatile situations, tempering hostility and fear with diplomacy and reason? How do we manage our will and passion, our ego and ambition? Are they in harmony and balance? Are they responsibly and compassionately directed? Are we a steady flame, or do we burn out quickly? In other words, are we tenacious and focused to get a job done, or do we tend to give up and not have any staying power? Fire teaches us about anger, rage, and boundaries. And for a long time, women were taught to be nice and not make waves and be charming and polite. Well, these can all be positive attributes under the right circumstances, but fire teaches one to know their personal boundaries and learn to say no without guilt when someone crosses a line. Fire gives one permission to have justifiable anger and rage. Fire enables us to dare and risk, but we must be sure we temper that with reason. Fire is about tapping into and harnessing the energy of the universe as well as the personal power or potential within. It's about learning to direct that power toward an intention for positive effect or healing. This can be called prayer. Having good motivations and intention is of utmost importance when projecting one's will. Fire is also about knowing when to surrender and trust. Fire is usually about change of some kind or another. It can be obvious positive change or an uncomfortable transition. But often I found even the latter was not without benefit. Sometimes the worst experiences of my life have turned out to be the most important lessons of my life that helped me in later years. I sometimes call those type of lessons those of the dark goddess. Well, speaking about transformation, I'd like for you to sit for a moment and think about a mirror as I read this to you, these reflections of transformation. With the mirror, many of us have been taught to see Goddess within. But a mirror is also a great metaphor for change and transformation. Early in life, we might just soak up those ideas and knowledge which are reflected toward us. Later, we may find ourselves called to reflect those ideas we have learned back out. Even later, we may become the mirror, actually creating the reflections, helping manifest our life and the universe in which we live. When we are the mirror, let us reflect or create these images of love, beauty, inclusiveness, strength, personal responsibility, tolerance, and integrity. As we are called upon to teach of Goddess, let those who seek us to learn of her truly see the wonder that she is through our reflection. So with that thought, let us reflect upon who the mighty warrioress Kali is. She who stands atop Shiva, who must activate the god so that he might be a force in the world. Let us pay tribute to her. Let us see her many weapons she arms herself with to fight the evils of the world. Now imagine you have a Kali in front of you, a multi-armed Kali. And in each of her hands, you are going to give to her a weapon, or you see a weapon appear in her hand. Maybe that's a better visualization, because you don't give Kali power. Her power manifests. So as I suggest these different Kali weapons, see them appear in one of her hands. Great goddess, warrioress, creatrix, conqueror, we call upon you as in ancient times to use your mighty weapons to subdue the injustice causing all suffering in the world, the suffering of so many. Let us remember the weapons at your disposal that cut through the evil in the world. Kali, your discus of absolute perfection. Your discus, it fights ignorance. It destroys the most tenaciously held, unfounded beliefs, allowing perfection based on truth and freedom to reign. And it is knowledge gained through observation and experience, so that knowledge and experience will prevail. Next, here is your sword of non-dual wisdom, which fights injustice, so that truth and wisdom is the law of the land. The sickle in your hand, Kali, we see it and we know it smites entitlement, removing the sense of separation, the sense of I and me, replacing it with the sense of we, our interconnection with each other and the entire body of goddess. Kali, your mace, I see the mace in your hand, which overcomes intolerance, so that we may know and embrace pluralism. Let us now be individual threads, but let us allow our threads to come together, creating the most marvelous of tapestries. Your spear of deep penetration, Kali, it defeats hopelessness, providing the power to penetrate into the stronghold of negativity. Your shield of complete protection obliterates scarcity. This weapon combines protection as well as foresight, while it is also an aspect of sacrifice, because you see, it takes all the abuse to protect. Your bow of unerring projection and flawless concentration represents qualities of supreme will and divine intent. It was the complete cycle from manifestation to dissolution. Your arrow of inscrutable accuracy, we see it, Kali. It represents qualities of omnipotence and mastery over everything. The goddess's Shakti power in the universe of form and ideas, and it can penetrate the smallest corner of resistance. Your conch shell of auspicious victory brings the qualities of harmony. Your bell of crystalline clarity brings about the qualities of spiritual awakening. Your mala, it is a symbol of spiritual tenacity and imbues us with tenacity. We have seen Kali, her foes, and her weapons, which wage war in the external world. Now, let us tell you of another mighty goddess of fire, Sekhmet, and give you a meditation to take in the essence of the Lady of Tenacity Manifested, a goddess of personal transformation and empowerment, so that you may find your fire within. Now, again, if you have my book, Walking an Ancient Path, this comes from chapter 14 in the fire section. It's about Sekhmet, healer, mother, empowerer, warrioress, knowing, in the knowing Sekhmet meditation. I'm going to read you some excerpts, because if you don't know Sekhmet, I think it's important that you become acquainted with her. In, you know, in jest, we commented how times had changed. A Sekhmet statue arrived to her temple, not by golden bark, but by padded pickup truck. Yes, in contemporary Southern California, her trip home was not by the traditional barge slowly making its way down the Nile River as in ancient times, but instead along the highways of asphalt and concrete, as she made her way slowly and carefully from the craftspeople who made her to her new dwelling we call Sekhmet's Mountain Sanctuary. Not long after she arrived, the men and women I work with gathered together to welcome Sekhmet home and invite her to preside in her grotto-like abode on land still sacred to the indigenous Chumash Native Americans of the area. Well, let me give you a little bit of backstory for that. I actually have a life-size seated Sekhmet statue, and this is how I saw her journey home. And a little bit about Sekhmet. She's probably best known as a destroyer goddess, but it's hardly an accurate snapshot of who she is. Her aspects as a mother, healer, and empowerer are often overlooked. You might know the story of how she almost destroyed mankind but was tricked into drinking a sleeping potion which stopped the carnage. Well, not unlike some goddess advocates today, many Egyptians feared her, with some preferring the gentler feline Egyptian goddess Bast. Though a sun goddess too, Bast was thought to represent the warm, nurturing aspects of the sun, while Sekhmet embodied the raging flames of destruction, change, and transformation. The story of Sekhmet's rampage does tend to imply she's impulsive, deadly, and perhaps heartless, but I'd suggest a different face of Sekhmet. As her mother and healer, it's important to realize that the Sekhmet temple outside Las Vegas stands today because a woman prayed to Sekhmet to become fertile. After years of unsuccessfully trying to become pregnant, this woman came upon a statue of Sekhmet in Egypt in 1962, and hearing of her powers, made a promise that if she could become a mother, she would build Sekhmet a temple in exchange, in thanks, in return. A short time after making the promise, this woman did become pregnant and now has three daughters. The mother, the woman I'm talking about, her name was Genevieve Vaughan, and her exact words were, "If you make me pregnant, I will build you a temple." And so it was. And then in 1962, on land in the Nevada Mojave Desert that was used for nuclear testing on a Shoshone Indian reservation, the Sekhmet Temple was built. The site was chosen in an attempt to let the sacredness of the temple begin to heal the land. The temple is described as ecologically appropriate, made of whitewashed stucco with door-like arched openings on each of its four sides. Atop an open circular skylight roof are tubular copper spheres hollow to contain crystals from Taos, New Mexico. At the center is a fire pit. Within the temple is a life-size seated statue of Sekhmet with the face of a lioness and the body of a woman, made of black stone by the late artist from Texas, Marcia Gomez. And in small niches and on altars throughout the temple are other images of goddess and all traditions, but the focal point of the temple is Sekhmet herself. Yes, she's the Lady of Tenacity Manifested. That's the new name I have coined for Sekhmet, adding to her thousands of ancient ones. I believe Sekhmet teaches courage, strength, and integrity. Those who fear Sekhmet fear their own power. For women, she's particularly important because she teaches us to empower ourselves, to know our strength, and to never let another take our power away. She schools us in confidence and sends lessons our way to steal and enable us. She allows us to grow and find the inner drive and determinations to see things through. She's that energy and power deep down inside that can be called upon when we must stand up and be counted, to speak out or to make things happen, and she teaches us to say no. She's associated with the sun, which either can be life-giving and sustaining or deadly under adverse or careless circumstances. And understanding this aspect, she teaches us diligence and discernment. As we come into our power, we must also come to know the importance of employing care and personal responsibility in all we do. Genevieve Vaughan, benefactress of the Sekhmet Temple outside Las Vegas, draws comparison between the legend of Sekhmet, where she went on a rampage caused by the evil of people, to an appropriate warning for us now, because we allow ourselves to be drugged into giving up the political and economic power that we could use to stop the destruction of Mother Earth. Genevieve said we should heed Sekhmet's warnings and stop sipping the drug of lies and allowing ourselves to be disemboweled by consumerism and substance abuse. She sees Sekhmet as a liberated human animal who will not allow the destruction of Mother Earth. Sekhmet has become an icon and archetype of imminent female power. Sekhmet is transformation, and as such, she can remove obstacles with her power and blinding light. I see her golden eyes like lasers, able to crumble the most formidable foe. In our ritual to her, we call upon her to heal us physically and mentally and to use our strength to help us banish what no longer serves us. We ask her to help us transform ourselves so that we can accomplish our goals. So, it's time for the Sekhmet meditation, where we invite Sekhmet to give us a sense of her so that we can connect with her essence. So I have the meditation actually taped, and I'm going to play the tape for you now. And as I said earlier, you can find it on my website, KarenTate.com. This lasts about 12 minutes, so please get comfortable and just follow my voice.
Hello, this is Karen Tate, author of Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, and the award-winning Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth. I'd like to share with you a meditation that might assist you in becoming more familiar with the lion-headed Egyptian goddess called Sekhmet. You might have heard the ancient myth of Sekhmet, where she went on a killing spree in the name of her father Ra and had to be drugged to stop her from killing all of humanity. Well, I'm going to strongly suggest that you wipe that image and story of Sekhmet from your mind, because trust me, she is no wanton killer. In fact, she's a healer, a mother, creatrix, as well as being a warrior goddess. Her son is Nefertum, patron god of doctors. Her consort, Ptah, is a creator god of Egypt, and her priests were well-trained surgeons in the ancient world. I'd invite you to look deeply into Sekhmet, see her tenacity, strength, passion, and will, all of which she imparts to us. She's the mother of tough love, sometimes that kicks her cubs out of the den to learn life's lessons, but she's also there to hold them close within the protection of her powerful embrace. We call her Lady of Tenacity Manifested. That's a contemporary name of Sekhmet that we've created for her after we've gotten to know her. Because if you learn to embody the qualities she represents or evokes, you'll be victorious and successful to meet life's challenges. She's particularly important to women today as they seek personal empowerment and learn to have healthy boundaries. And sometimes that means saying no. So, we're about to start the Sekhmet guided meditation. I'd like to invite you to find a comfortable place to sit and get your body in a comfortable position. Just relax and breathe. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Do that several times. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Close your eyes and breathe deeply in and out. Just let the cares of the outside world drop away. If your mind starts to wander, just call it back to the sound of my voice. And see some of the ideas I suggest to you on the movie screen of your third eye. Just relax and breathe, because you're safely tucked away in the arms of the Mother Goddess. You have come here to honor her and to know her. So just relax as we begin the journey. You're laying down in a cool green meadow. Tall grass is all around you. A line of trees are in the distance. And behind that, tall mountains, still with traces of winter snow at the highest peaks. You feel the cool, gentle breeze on your cheeks. You're perfectly relaxed. You're perfectly comfortable. You're not worried or concerned about one single thing. The sun is shining brightly overhead, and you bask in the glow. You are content, soaking in the beauty and abundance the Mother has provided. As you lay there on your back, eyes shaded toward the sun, you hear a slight rustle in the tall green grass just beyond you. There seems to be something moving closer toward you, but you're not alarmed. You're perfectly relaxed as you hear the gentle footsteps making their way toward you. You know you are in the domain of the Mother, and you know you are perfectly safe. As the sound coming toward you stops, you're curious and sit up. You look over in the direction of the sound, and partially cloaked by the tall grass, you spy the outline of a large golden feline. What catches your attention are the eyes. She looks at you. She looks through you. As she moves closer, you feel her energy like the powerful rays of sunbeams, capable, nurturing, and wise. As you continue to gaze into each other's eyes, you suddenly feel your surroundings go hazy and liquid. The big cat moves closer to you, inviting you toward her. Your eyes are inches apart now, and you covet this magnificent feeling she is radiating in your presence. Within seconds, you no longer see her, but you feel her inside you. You look down at your feet, and you see their shifting shape, painlessly, miraculously, wonderfully. You look at your arms and hands, and they too are morphing and beginning to look like the supple, agile, powerful limbs of a feline. You attempt to utter your astonishment, and your voice comes out in deep and guttural purrs. Then you look to your right, and the lioness is standing beside you. It is Sekhmet, the lion-headed goddess. She's beckoning you to walk alongside her. You both walk together through the tall grass. All the while, you feel her eyes and breath on you. Her stare is imparting ancient wisdom to you. It is her gift. While you were basking in the glow of this energy, you had not realized she had walked you beyond the grass toward a cool grotto of trees, and you see a cave in the distance. She gestures for you to walk toward the cave. Behind you, all the while, supporting you, silently imparting strength and knowledge, she directs you to sit in the cool, inviting darkness of this womb-like space. You hear her voice in the silence, telling you to close your eyes. And in your mind's eye, you begin to see images. These images impart sounds and give you a higher sense of awareness. Take a minute or two, or as much as you like. Sit with these images and ideas. Let them flow from her into you. Absorb them as if you were a sponge. Try to remember what you're being shown. These are messages and gifts from the Great Mother. Let these images flow into you. Yes, absorb them as if you were a sponge. Try to remember what you are being shown, because these messages are gifts from the Great Mother. You feel the images fading, getting harder to grasp, until they finally just cease. They're like grains of sand slipping through your fingers. You open your new feline eyes, and naturally you see clearly in the darkness. You breathe deeply, as if by doing so, you can anchor these newfound ideas, thoughts, and messages within your psyche. You no longer see her there physically, but you still feel the lingering energy of her presence within you. But instinctively, you know it's time to exit the cave. Walking toward the cave opening, you glimpse the sunlight just beyond. As you step into the full light of the golden sun, you glance down at your body and you are once again fully human. You walk back through the tall grasses, feeling the green growing things gently caressing your limbs as you go. You return to that sacred spot where this all began. You sit down on the soft, velvet-like grass and breathe. Lay back and breathe yourself back into awareness. You are relaxed, but you are transformed, for she is still and always a part of you. Now take a deep cleansing breath. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Do it once again. Slowly bring yourself back into the room. Open your eyes and continue to breathe. You might want to wiggle your toes and shake your hands. Say your name out loud. This is Karen Tate, and I hope you've enjoyed the Sekhmet meditation, introducing you to the lion-headed Egyptian goddess Sekhmet.
Did enjoy that, and as I said before, there are other meditations on my website besides that one. There's one for spring. There's also a meditation that takes you on a journey to the Isis temple, and you know, they're there for your enjoyment and convenience. So as we bring our sacred salon to a close, we have our, you know, we've come full circle. In the beginning, we had our prayer of that we have forgotten who we are. And now that we've, you know, shared knowledge of the goddess and ideals of the goddess, well, we remember again. We remember who we are. So we talk, you know, we give this prayer of remembering. And I invite you to, you know, out loud or silently to yourself, you can say the response, which is, we rejoice in all life, we remember who we are. We live in all things live in us. We rejoice in all life, we remember who we are. We move with the sun, we live by the sun, we move with the stars. We rejoice in all life, we remember who we are. We eat from the earth, we drink from the rain, we breathe from the air. We rejoice in all life, we remember who we are. We share with the creatures, we have strength through their gifts. We rejoice in all life, we remember who we are. We depend on the forests, we have knowledge through their secrets. We rejoice in all life, we remember who we are. We have the privilege of seeing and understanding. We have the responsibility of caring and sharing. We have the joy of celebrating. We are full of the grace of creation. We remember who we are. Now, those two prayers, the prayer of that we have forgotten and the prayer of remembering, if you'd like to use them for your own service, you can find them on the United Nations website. And I'd like to leave you with a couple affirmations that are appropriate for our theme. And one's from the first one here is from the Rig Veda. I move with the infinite in nature's power. I hold the fire of the soul. I hold life and healing. And from Marianne Williamson, personal transformation can and does have global effects. As we go, so goes the world, for the world is us. The revolution that will save the world is ultimately a personal one. Well, I hope I've helped you begin anew today and build on these ideas. Perhaps we can further cleanse our minds and our palates, our souls, our voices with this closing prayer. It's called I Cleanse My Soul. I cleanse my mind and heart with the coming light. I cleanse my soul in the dews of coming spring. Light of minds, refreshing dew, love of hearts, renewing dew, life beings, restoring dew. Cleanse and recreate my mind, voice, and soul this day. May the hearts and minds of all beings be peaceful from fall of night till day's clear light. Cleanse and recreate my mind, my voice, and soul this day. So, listeners, I invite you to come back next Thursday when I'll have Lane Redman on the show and Ava Park, as Ava's going to be talking about transgenders and spirituality. And Lane will be talking about preserving women's history. And as I say goodnight to you, I'd like to leave you with a beautiful song dedicated to Sekhmet by Abigail Spinner McBride. It's called Sekhmet. And again, listeners, if you'd like to communicate with me or share any comments about the Sacred Salons, if you have any suggestions, anything in particular you'd like to hear, you'd like me to share with listeners, even something you might not like about the salons, please, I'm here for you. I am in service to you and the community. That's the whole point of the show. So please let me hear from you. Okay? I have a wonderful Beltane this week, and we'll meet again next Thursday. And as we close the show again, this is Om Sekhmet by the wonderful musician and singer Abigail Spinner McBride. And I thank her and Diva Haley for allowing me to use their music on the show, along with all the other musicians who have contributed their music to Voices of the Sacred Feminine. Good night.
Prasanna.